Hear these words from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. Brothers and sisters, God has shown you His mercy. So I'm asking you to offer up your bodies to Him while you are still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that's pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshiping Him. Don't live any longer the way the world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you'll be able to test what God wants for you, and you will agree that what He wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. God's grace has been given to me. So here's what I say to every one of you. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you should. Be reasonable when you think about yourself. Keep in mind the amount of faith God has given you. Each of us has one body with many parts, and the parts do not all have the same purpose. So also we are many persons, but in Christ we are one body, and each part of the body belongs to all the other parts. We all have gifts. They differ in keeping with the grace that God has given each of us. Do you have the gift of prophecy? Then use it in keeping with the faith you have. If your gift is to serve, then serve. Is it teaching? Then teach. Is it to tell others how they should live? Then tell them. Is it giving to those who are in need? Then give freely. Is it being a leader? Then work hard at it. Is it showing mercy? Then do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, how might these inspired words that Paul conveyed to the Romans so long ago become God's word for us today? I see four important instructions arising from this text. The first is, make yourselves available for God's mission and purpose. Paul calls the early followers of Jesus to become a holy sacrifice pleasing to God. Perhaps you're more acquainted with the King James rendering of that verse. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. To us, that is really a strange image, that we ourselves would become holy or living sacrifices. But those to whom Paul wrote would likely have understood it. At that time, worship was shifting for many from the practice of animal sacrifice to other ways of worship, including understanding worship through service to others. Presenting oneself, one's body, as a living sacrifice to God suggests that we are to respond to God with our whole beings, not just part of who we are. Paul makes a clear connection between worship and service in verse 1. When you offer your bodies to God, your whole self, you are worshiping Him. Martha Berry was the remarkable woman who started a school for mountain kids in Northwest Georgia that eventually grew into the college that I attended. She also amassed an amazingly large campus, the largest in the world, in fact. If you ever drive around the Berry College campus, you may notice that steeples and spires are not found only on chapels. You will also see them on classrooms and barns and other buildings. And that was done by design because Miss Berry believed and taught impressionable young people that work and worship and learning and service go hand in hand. That all of these can and should honor God. Our worship is the most important thing we do, but our faith commitments are not limited to this hour and this place. We are to present our whole selves to God as living sacrifices, whereby our faith takes root in everything we say and do. We should make our whole selves available for God's purposes. A second important instruction is to think differently from the mindsets that surround you. So many people are like sponges. They simply absorb whatever's around them, whatever they hear, whatever they see in others. And that's not how people of faith are to live, Paul tells the Romans. In verse 2, he says, "Don't live any longer the way the world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely different, completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you. And you will agree that what he wants is right, for his plan is good and pleasing and perfect." The New King James puts it this way: "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." But my favorite translation of this verse comes from the J.B. Phillips New Testament. Listen closely to this. "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your mind from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all of his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity." All around us, there are voices that seek to squeeze us into a mold that differs from the values and priorities of faithful Christian living. Many of those voices suggest that life is simply one big competition with very few winners. And that we are to seek to win at whatever cost. And other people are seen merely as competitors for that which we desire and seek. Other voices tell us that our personal independence and self-sufficiency are the highest goals in life. Working cooperatively, helpfully with others is seen as a weakness. And there is no appreciation for the contribution of others to our lives. We can either conform to those values, or we can be transformed from within by the power of God's Spirit. The late New Testament scholar Dale Moody once wrote about this passage: "Transformation is primarily a renewal of the mind. The transformation by the Holy Spirit makes one more and more into the image of Christ." That, of course, is the goal of Christian living, to be changed more and more into the persons that God desires us to be, those who reflect the life and teachings of Jesus. Dr. Moody noted that the mind's highest function is to discern the will of God. The word acceptable here, the acceptable will of God, simply means that which is agreeable to God. We should seek to please God with our living in the same way the people of old used to seek to please God with their sacrifices. If I had to sum that up, I would do it in this way. We please God not by building altars and offering animal sacrifices, but by presenting our full selves to God in worship and service, and by allowing the Spirit of God to transform our minds by remolding us from within. In doing so, our values and our priorities align with those of Jesus more than those voices all around us. The third word of instruction comes in verse 3. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you should. Be reasonable when you think about yourself. Keep in mind the amount of faith that God has given you. I guess in today's language we would say, keep your ego in check. Several years ago, I was touring around England with some others, and we visited Blenheim Palace in Woodstock, the residence of the Dukes of Marlborough. And behind this ornate, stately palace, with its huge entrance, majestic towers, wrought iron gates, beautiful gardens, was a quiet lake with a very small boathouse. And my friend Bruce Gorley and I left the group to sneak down to the lake, hoping to get some good photos. And we got down to that little, simple boathouse, and it had a small, short door about this high. And there was a crudely made sign across the top. It said, mind your head. And I told Bruce we should remove it and put it over the door of the palace. Mind your head. That's good advice for all of us. Or as Paul put it, don't think of yourselves more highly than you should. Be reasonable when you think about yourself. The fourth and final instruction from this passage is use your varied gifts for a common purpose. This is not the only place in Scripture where Paul uses the image of a single body having many different parts that function together. But here's what he writes beginning in verse 6. We all have gifts. They differ in keeping with the grace that God has given each of us. Do you have the gift of prophecy or inspired preaching? Then use it. Is your gift to serve? Then serve. Is it to teach? Then teach. Is it to help others understand how they should live? Then tell them. If it's given to those in need, give freely. If it's being a leader, then work hard at it. And if it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. We should understand that each of us has an important, but not more important, role in being the body of Christ in our time and our place. Recently, I reminded you that the Christian faith is not a spectator sport. The Christian faith is something to be highly participatory. That is, each and every one of us, though gifted differently, has a role to play in the kingdom of God in our time and our place. What gifts do you have that you need to bring to the important task of service in Christ's name? What gifts has God placed within you that you need to bring to the service of Christ? You know, that's a question not only to consider, but something to act upon. There's one remaining sentence in this passage from Romans that I've not mentioned, and it is the first part of verse 3, and it is very important. God's grace has been given to me. It aligns with the very first verse in this chapter, that God has shown us His mercy. When we seek to do all of these things we are called to do, we do not do it by our own might or by our perfection, but we do it because God has shown mercy to us and given us grace. We can offer ourselves more fully in worship and in service, knowing that God's grace and mercy are ever present. Oh, when we understand that, when we really grasp an understanding, an experience of God's grace and mercy, then we can allow God to transform our minds from within rather than becoming whatever the voices around us tell us to be. We can have a healthy self-esteem, yet avoid egotism and self-absorption. We can become the kinds of people who willingly use the unique gifts within us to a shared ministry as the body of Christ. God's grace allows for all of that, even encourages that, if we're up to it. How do we respond to the Spirit of God that brings us grace and mercy and seeks to transform our lives so that we live in more meaningful ways and we present ourselves, our whole selves, in the service of God? Let us listen for how the Spirit of God speaks to us. We come now to our time of commitment, where we invite the Spirit to speak among us. We pray that we would all respond in our individual ways, or perhaps before this congregation, where you're always welcome to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, or to renew that commitment to following Christ more faithfully, or to become a part of this church family where we bring our gifts together in service. However God's Spirit moves you, may you respond as we stand and sing together.